prepare to experience the strongest radio allowable by law. Secrets will be revealed. Myths dispelled. From the studio gym where excuses never apply, it's Superhuman Radio with your host, Carl Lenore.
Hey, hey, welcome back to another episode of Superhuman Radio. Today is September 10th, and 2020, and we have our second installment of Fathers and Sons, and today's interview is going to be with Mark Bell. We had a little technical difficulty, but we're rolling now. I just want to give a shout-out and pay homage to my title sponsor, Legendary Foods, eatlegendary.com. Use the code SHR10, save 10% off all the products at their website. And if you are a low-carb, keto, high-protein person, you're going to love their snacks. So check them out. Let's get Mark on because he's standing by. Hold on. Mark, how you doing?
I'm doing great. I'm out here in Bodega Bay, California, but there's a lot of fires out in California, so the air quality just absolutely sucks. But other than that, I'm doing great.
Didn't you just buy like a cabin or something like that?
I did. Yeah, that's in South Lake Tahoe, and my wife and I, we've been fortunate enough to have our businesses do well enough to where we're able to have multiple spots. And so actually, what I'll do is probably in the next couple of days, I'll probably go to Tahoe because the air quality there is pretty clean, and it's not as shitty as Sacramento and Bodega.
Yeah, very, very tough. I know. It's a tragedy what's going on over there.
Yeah, brutal.
All right, so I wanted to have you on the show today for the second installment of this season of Fathers and Sons. You have a son that you're raising. You are a person who casts a pretty big shadow. I want to know about parenting with you, okay? So we're going to start off. I have a list of questions. We're just going to follow the script if we can, okay?
Right. Okay. Sounds good.
So who had the biggest influence on you as a young boy?
I'd say my dad. You know, my dad and my grandfather. And then I would say that's continuing onward for my son, because my son has a really, really good relationship with his with my dad, with his grandpa, and then my son and I are close as well. So, I think I've heard people kind of say, it takes a village, to raise a child. And I'm kind of that belief, but I don't want it to be any old village. I want it to be our village that raises our children, just right. Because, the ideas and principles are just going to be so different, and you don't want to, not that they're right or wrong, they're just different, and you don't want them to be conflicted. And have too much conflicting information, which you're going to just end up with a lot of that anyway. So we're a pretty tight-knit family, and there's there's four of us in our household, my wife, Andy, and my daughter, Quinn, and then we have Jake. But we also have some in-laws, and they're around all the time. So there's really more like – and my dad is around all the time. Sometimes my brother's around. So you got 10, 11, 12 people around all the time for my children to absorb stuff from.
So you really have a traditional family unit that we a lot of us are familiar with. You're from the East Coast. You're from Poughkeepsie originally, right?
That's right. Yep.
Yeah. So that's the East Coast style, right? The grandmother and the grandfather involved with the family, and everybody's kind of in together. And you just moved it all out to California, basically.
Yeah, that's right. And then I grew up with like kind of maybe double or even triple the amount of family members around, because both of my parents, growing up Catholic and Italian, they had met, both sides had many, many children, 9 kids on each side. So I got, a lot of uncles, a lot of aunts, and they all had their own children as well.
So when you look at parenting, being a father, did you start to pick up pieces from other people and say, I'm going to do that when I have a son? Who influenced you the most with what you see yourself as a father?
I think it was just kind of the setup that we had whenever we'd go to my grandfather's house. It was a lot of like trial by fire, you know, just letting kids be kids and letting them learn the way that they need to learn. I don't remember. I mean, I know the adults would play with us and stuff a lot, and they would help us organize games and things of that nature. But I don't really remember an adult saying, "Hey, you know, here's how you pitch a baseball, or here's how you, you know, throw a football," because they just left it up to us to kind of figure it out, and we would just play and throw the ball back and forth. And then, of course, you would, you know, get made fun of a lot if you didn't do it the right way. You know, if you threw the ball, you know, awkwardly or anything like that, you'd get teased and made fun of, and then you would start to learn. But my dad was the biggest, you know, and still to this day is the biggest influence, on me. And, but I guess also, you know, just seeing my grandfather, like what he was able to do. My grandfather, was an entrepreneur. He, worked on airplanes. He, worked on the railroad. He, had his own, car lot where he'd fix up used cars and boats and, he'd resell them, and it was really weird because I didn't really realize it until I was older, but this idea of, like, you know, trying to get word out of the products that I have and Slingshot and different things like that, I didn't realize so much of that came from my grandfather and my dad, because all growing up, my grandfather had T-shirts made, you know, in like the 60s and 70s that said Shell Bell Auto on it. His name was Sheldon. And he also had, you know, like signage out front. He had a hat that had it on there. He'd give people a free hat when they came in and got their car worked on, and just to get the word out there, you know. And then my dad ended up doing the same thing. My dad worked for IBM for many years. And when he was released from IBM, when they went through a lot of downsizing, he started his own real estate company and income tax business. And then so my dad's license plate, when I was a kid, it said "buy a house" on it.
That's cool.
And that must have sank in, because I got five of them now.
No, but so they were good at merchandising. Both your grandfather and your father were very good at merchandising.
Yeah, and just good at getting the word of mouth out. And they were the kind of people that they're both the kind of people that when someone brings up their name, people get excited. They're like, "Oh yeah, I know that guy. Yeah, I get my taxes done from him as well." Or, "Yeah, I bought a car from him," you know, that kind of stuff. So, yeah, I learned a lot of just, you know, life can be pretty simple. You just need to be good to people, and people will reciprocate it back to you more often than you might think.
So you have a really, really good sense of humor. Like, you and I are the same. There is no such thing as a bad joke. You know how people are like, "Oh, that's not funny." Like, "Oh, yeah, it is." Where did you get your sense of humor from?
I think that's from my, you know, growing up with two older brothers. You know, I think, you know, you grew up much tougher and rougher than I did due to the, you know, particular environment that you grew up in. But I would say in terms of getting, like, grilled and made fun of, I got grilled and made fun of probably just as much as anybody else. So you learn to have, you know, you better. You didn't have to really fight in my neighborhood. It wasn't violent like that. It wasn't like a survival type of thing, but you did have to have thick skin or you're going to have some rough days ahead of you.
Do you have any non-negotiable rules when it comes to Jake? Like when you look at parenting, are there things like, "Look, I'm going to pick my fights with you, but these things here, no way"?
Yeah. So sometimes, you know, what could happen is, you know, kids a lot of times are going to choose, you know, the more pleasurable things, the things that they enjoy the most. They're going to want to play video games a little bit more. They're going to want to do certain things maybe more than you would like them to do. And so when it comes to that kind of stuff, I just try to make sure, like, he does the work that he should be doing. You know, he's got some schoolwork to do. Hey, did you take a shower? Did you, like, go outside today? You know, like, those are kind of the non-negotiables. So if I see him sitting there just playing his game all day, I don't mind if he plays his game till his heart's content. You know, doesn't bother me very much. But I want to see that he's, like, participated in the family. I want to see that he's done some stuff for the day. So I'm pretty, lenient because I'm not a huge fan of like forcing people to really do anything. At the same time, that's kind of your job as a parent.
Yeah.
And it can be tiring. It can be exhausting at times. And so that's something that I need to be, conscious of. Like, hey, you know, you kind of have to kick them in the ass a little bit here and there.
Yeah, no, absolutely. Are you introducing Jake to physical culture? Or is he taking it? Does he have an interest in lifting or any running, anything?
He has. So he wants to be the opposite of me at the moment, I believe.
Yeah.
You know, I think that that's kind of his goal. And that was my goal when I was his age, too, was to be the opposite of my dad. Because I saw my dad in a suit and tie every day. And I was like, whatever that's about, I don't want anything to do with that. And so I think he's, you know, and you mentioned earlier, you know, I cast a big shadow, you know. And I think he recognizes that. And I think he wants to try to find some of his own stuff. And he's actually, he's really intellectual. And if I bring up like working out or something, he's like, you know, I'm going to get into that when I'm older. You know, like he says it like as if it's just like fact, you know. And I'm yeah. like, he's probably right. He's only 16. So, you know, so I try not to really with both of my children, I try not to really, you know, force them into doing a lot of shit that they don't want to do. What I would love to have happen is to encourage it, to show them that this is how I do things. And then hopefully they kind of come to some of these realizations on their own.
Do you feel that there are any really important qualities that a boy should learn and develop?
You know, I think a boy, the only way for a boy to kind of learn how to be a man is to be around men. And I think, you know, in our culture today, and I love the fact that you got this show going because I think it's important. A lot of people don't have that. They don't have a kind of father figure to look up to. They don't have a dad in their life. You know, my wife and I, we're really fortunate in the fact that we get to spend a lot of time with our children. Maybe even you could argue too much time, because I think it's good for the dad to not be there sometimes. So the kid has to make a decision on, you know, is this a good move or not type of thing. I think you need to learn some stuff on your own as well. But yeah, I think the only way to learn how to be a man is from being around men and kind of seeing how they act. How do I treat my wife? You know, how do I treat, you know, going to work? How do I treat the things that I like or care about, or the things that I, you know, claim that I like or care about? How am I treating those things, and what am I doing when it comes to those things? When things happen in this household, you know, I've always been, well, maybe not always, but I've tried to always be as reasonable as I can. And once there's like a lot of yelling and screaming going on, which doesn't happen as much because they're older, but I would sit them down. I'd sit Jake down and I would say, hey, you know, you got my attention. You know, what do you need? And he would be like, huh? You know, and I'd say, well, you know, you're acting up and you're beating the crap out of your sister and like, you know, whatever the heck was going on. And I can say, hey, this house isn't really for that. You know, I know you might think that you might see it on TV or you might see it in other households and stuff, but I'm like, this household doesn't need to be this way. This can be whatever way we want to make it. You know, this could be fun. This could be a place where we're pretty damn happy most of the time. And yeah, we're going to argue and fight. Those things are going to happen. But, you know, just let me know what the issue is. Let me know what the problem is. And let's just figure out a way to resolve it. Because if I get pissed off and punch a hole in the wall, all we have is a hole in the wall and my hand will hurt. So,
right. Yeah, nothing.
It's like, let's
solved.
Try to figure out a better solution, you know?
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. So now that you speak, you mentioned, you know, getting angry. And do you talk to your son about aggression? You ever have to have that conversation with him? Like, it's okay to be aggressive in these situations, but not these situations?
Yeah, so I do. I have talked to him several times about stuff like that. You know, in the case of, like, you know, maybe defending yourself. You know, there's obviously you're going to want to kind of stand up for yourself and things that you believe in. You could be a little bit more aggressive towards. But, you know, I'd rather try to work stuff out with my head more so than with like my fists. So, you know, aggression, yes, but violence, no. You know, I think, yeah, yeah, attack it aggressively.
I like that differentiation. Aggression, yeah, yes, when we, and violence, no.
Yeah, I think sometimes, yeah, when we think aggression, we're thinking like, we're going to go punch somebody in the head. And, you know, when I was lifting some of my biggest weights, you know, we would always talk about attacking the weight with aggression. But then we also learned that if we tried to attack the weight with, like, violence, the weight just didn't care and it didn't work very well. Attacking it with aggression is giving it a little extra oomph, giving it a little extra, you know, if I was spotting you on a deadlift or so, if I was watching you do a deadlift, I could say, Carl, you can pull that a little bit more explosively. Come on, get pissed off. And you would understand what I meant and you could lift it more aggressively. But if you act like too much of a maniac, you're probably just going to hurt yourself. So, yeah, I've talked to, if one of the kids like slams the door or something, or which Jake is he's very similar to me. He's pretty calm. Mm-hmm. And I think that like any time that he has slammed a door or thrown something, or, you know, I'll say, hey, like, you know, what's this about? You know, like, what, like, did that help anything? You know, is that an effective way to handle something? And so I'd rather teach them like, hey, let's figure out a way to add some reason and some logic into the picture, because I don't think just being aggressive alone will really solve much of anything. Sometimes it can help you finish something off or do something that you've been wanting to do. So in that sense, it can be really useful. But I really like to just try to think, and especially in terms of emotions, you know, how can they assist? How can they insist in our, you know, assist in our day to day? I think a lot of times they really just get in the way. Sometimes it can help. You know, if you see that I'm happy because you told a joke, well, then you're going to pour on more jokes, you know.
Right.
If you saw that something offended me and you kind of saw my reaction to it, you're gonna be like, oh, shit, like, I kind of went, I, you know, I went a little too hard even on Mark there, you know. So I think I really try to teach my children, like, you know, everything is not everything, but most things are what you make of them. And don't feel like your friends can make you do anything or make you feel any certain way. You get to control that. You get a certain input coming to you, and the input that comes into you doesn't have to be the output that comes back out. And I think that that's something that we kind of lose sight of quite often, especially as men, because I think we get to be real reactionary. Mm-hmm. Maybe we're not as emotional as females sometimes, but we're going to like try to react because it's like our quote unquote job to like take care of that shit right away.
There's a little feedback coming. I think I may have fixed it. Can you still hear me, Mark?
Yeah, I can still hear you perfectly.
Can you lower your volume? Because my voice is feeding back into your microphone.
Oh,
so
there we go.
So lower the audio where you can still hear me. I think we can get that to go away.
Can you? Yeah. How's that? That sounds good.
Yeah, that's better. There was some bad feedback coming. Okay, so obviously you're going to disagree with Jake from time to time. Do you give him latitude to disagree with you? Do you sit down with him and go, okay, we'll explain your... I mean, it sounds like you do from some of the things that you just said. You're not a tyrant.
Yeah, this is the greatest thing about my son that I really am really proud of him for, is that he does speak his mind a lot. And the one thing that I say to him is like, hey, just make sure that what you're saying that you... because I think as a kid, you might say stuff just to kind of get a reaction. He's very much into like politics and stuff. And Jake is really interesting to where he could tell you, like, you can just say something really random out of, you know, out of left field, and he'll know a ton of information about it. We call it in this house, we call it Jake News. And Jake's got like all these facts and stuff. I mean, you could say, hey, Jake, what happened at the OK Corral? And he'll just like rattle off, you know, what went down, and he'll just know it. And so he knows a lot of like history. He knows a lot of politics. And when he says something, you know, for a while, it's actually kind of funny. He's like 13 or 14. He's like a huge Trump fan.
Excellent.
And that's what I said. He and my dad, they went and they actually saw Donald Trump in Reno, and it ended up being this huge, it ended up being this huge thing, because we let my dad borrow my car. My car was brand new, and my car fucking blew up. And it blew up on the side of the road, like in the middle of nowhere in Reno. And we were trying, they're stuck on the side of the road in the middle of the night because they were trying to get out there sometime at night, get a hotel, see Trump in the morning, do a speech. This is like 3 or 4 years ago. And so we call a bunch of different places. We're calling like fire departments and we're calling police officers and we're calling anybody. Cause I'm like, I want to get my kid the hell off the side of the road. You know, right. He's there with my dad, but my dad's kind of crazy. Like my dad always says, oh, it's going to be fine. Everything's going to be fine. Like yeah. The kids are going to be fine. Like right. he doesn't ever view anything as being all that dangerous. And I'm like, are you out of your mind? What are you doing? And, anyway, we weren't able to really get them any like roadside assistance for, a few hours, but anyway, they went to this like Trump rally and stuff like that, and Jake was on TVs in the background. He's got a red, you know,
MAGA hat
red
on,
MAGA hat on, and everything. And now Jake talks about that, and he's like, "Man, I'm so embarrassed." He's like, "They have footage of me at that, you know, at that rally." I was like, "Oh, you changed parties?" Or he's like, "Well, you know, I've been thinking about it," and he's goes on and on and on. He just knows a lot of information about politics, and he'll tell me the different people that he's listening to on YouTube. He follows like Lex Friedman's podcast, and he's listening to Ben Shapiro, and he's listening to all these different people.
I love Ben. I think Ben is so intelligent, and he is so fast that like if you say something that's a lie, he piles everything up on top of you, and you're baffled. Like I don't, what do I say now? Ben's great. Ben Shapiro is great.
Yeah, he's really smart. And so, yeah, my son is very, like, intellectual when it comes to that stuff. And when we get talking back and forth, like, he might say, because of his age, he doesn't really believe the government should, like, really intervene or interfere with much of anything. And I'm like, that's, like, I know a lot of people share that same view. Mm-hmm. You know, there's probably thousands, if not millions of people that share the same view. But where do you draw the line? You know, somebody smashes the window at a public facility, you know, in a city. Do we just let it go? Can they burn the place down? Like, and then what happens if they get to residential? You know, then what do we do? Or if you let someone go who you thought stole something, you know, what would happen if the person was to steal a car and run somebody over? Like, just so I try to just give him examples of like, hey, you know, you can think whatever way you want, but there's reasons why these things are complicated because nobody has a real answer to them. We just have some theories that we think could help mitigate or help with some of these situations. So, yeah, we end up in a lot of deep conversations. My wife actually will get really frustrated with him because he will play devil's advocate even just to play devil's advocate. And he doesn't even care if he believes it or not, but it will drive her nuts. For me, I like the conversation back and forth. I like hearing the other side of it. So, yeah, he and I are debating stuff all the time. He's
well, I was just
to,
thinking, he needs
form
to be
any
on,
opinion
he
wants.
He needs to be on the debate team. Like this, he right, likes the debate. He'll pick a side and go with it. Like it doesn't matter.
That's 100%. I've tried to encourage him on some stuff like that. He and I even talked about him, you know, getting into like politics. And he goes, "Dad," he goes, "if I get into politics," he's like, "what'll that make me?" And I was like, "a politician." He's like, 100%. He's like, "I don't want to be a politician." I was like, "well, maybe you could be, you know, like a voice though, when you're older, like maybe you can be like a Ben Shapiro where you're not necessarily a politician, but you stand up for your political beliefs and you share them out with a lot of people."
Yeah. You're influencing people to make better decisions. I'm with him. You know, my attitude about government, especially when it comes to like nutrition, for instance, is, the government works from the standpoint that we are too stupid to take care of ourselves. Like if we're not here to guide you, you'll die. And that kind of government intervention annoys me dramatically. In fact, I want to have a bumper sticker made that says, "keep the government out of my pantry." Because I don't want them making food pyramids and food plates and subsidizing crops that I don't want to eat. So, you know, he's right. I think a lot of us realize that government is the root of the problems we have today. The sprawling, ever-growing government. Because you know what it reminds me of, Mark? remember the guy who made the Vegematic? What was his name? Ron Papil.
Oh, yeah.
Remember Ron Papil? He used to spray paint his head black so he didn't look bald. Do you remember him? So,
yeah.
Ron, every single thing a woman did in a kitchen, Ron decided, oh, we need a machine for that. Like, oh, no, don't slice your tomatoes anymore. Use the tomato slicer. And there was a different cucumber slicer. That's what government is like. Every time they identify some little thing, they want to develop a department for it and dedicate funds for it. And that, it's just crazy. It's why we have the problems that we have today. Do you talk to him about what's going on with, like, the whole gender issues with, you know, binary and boys and girls and not boys and girls? Does he have opinions on that at all?
Yeah, we've talked a little bit about some things like that. We've talked about all kinds of different things because, you know, it happens at school, like where they change the, you know, whether it's boys or girls. Now it's kind of a mixed bathroom and things like that. And, you know, so yeah, we've had some conversations about that, but I don't really have much of an opinion on stuff like that one way or the other. You know, when it comes to people feeling good about themselves or being at peace with whatever it is that they just, whatever direction they decide to go, in a particular avenue, as long as I can't think of some reasons on why it's going to negatively impact a bunch of other people, then I really don't have a huge problem with it. You know, it can be annoying sometimes when things are enforced or when things have to be a certain way. You know, that kind of stuff can get to be a little bit annoying. But I think in school, I think he has some people that are, I guess you'd call it gender neutral, and things like that at his school. And, yeah, so we've talked about it a little bit, but like he's smarter than me about that stuff because he's younger,
right?
You know, right. The older we are, we're like, what is this? Like, what's going on? And what happened to people? You know, people didn't used to do this, but people kind of always have done that. They just haven't really talked about it a lot, and now you're just kind of seeing more and more of it. And there could be many, many reasons on why, you know, all that's coming to be, but hard to speculate on why.
We're going to take a quick commercial break. When we come back, I've got more questions. We're talking with Mark Bell. By the way, Mark Bell is also a sponsor of Superhuman Radio, in case you don't realize it. Mark's fantastic Kratom product, Mind Bullet, is misspelled there. Hold on a second. It says M-I-M-D. Mimmed Bullet. It's Mimmed Bullet. We changed the name. Mind Bullet is a product that I like. I enjoy using. If you're a person who enjoys Kratom, this is the single best Kratom in the world. I'm not kidding. This Kratom never makes me nauseous. It always makes me feel good. It doesn't make me feel
wrong. That's great.
I don't know what you've done with this product, how you've sourced the raw materials and all that sort of stuff, but this, because I used to use that OPMS
right.
Platinum, which is like the best, and this stuff is like hands down. Two caps of yours does the same thing that 4 to 6 caps of theirs does. So it's really good stuff. We have a 20% discount. If you go to the URL, shrnetwork.biz/mindbullet, B-U-L-L-E-T-E-T, you'll get 20% off. So check it out. We're going to be right back with more of Mark Bell. Stay tuned. Roll some music here. You've heard me talk about the chill pill on the show and how effective it is at helping people who suffer from social anxiety or sometimes when you just want to take the edge off to a long, stressful day. Well, listen to this story from Dylan Goutreau.
Definitely takes anxiety away, which I have a long history of having. Started out at 2 milligrams a day of Xanax. That was at 8 years old. And so I stopped using benzos 3 years ago. Extremely difficult. Yeah, so I spent about 3 years trying to find anything and everything I could that would be healthy for me to help with anxiety. Because I'm talking, you know, full out panic attack. The chill pill was the first thing that I've found that actually in the middle of a panic attack I can take, and it definitely subsides.
Go to drseeds.com. That's DRSEEDS.com. Use coupon code SHR and save 20% off your first bottle of the chill pill. Check it out. I promise this is one supplement that delivers. Whether your goal is to build muscle or burn fat, you'll find everything you need at Redcon One. Need help getting a good night's sleep? Try Fade Out, or the most popular pre-workout supplement on the market today, Total War. Sign up for their new Transformation Challenge and win $10,000. Or shop for apparel that people at the gym will know that you are serious about your training. Need a testosterone booster that works? Check out Boomstick. Whatever you need, you'll find the best quality supplements on the market at Redcon One. Go to RedconOne.com. That's R-E-D-C-O-N, the number one.com, or go to superhumanradio.net and click the Redcon One banner ad today. Chronic stress leaves us tired, distracted, and physically vulnerable. Apollo Neuro is here to help you take control. Apollo Neuro is a new wearable that trains your nervous system to be more resilient to stress. Apollo's gentle vibrations use your sense of touch to help you recover from stress, going from fight or flight to rest and digest, so you can relax, get to sleep, focus, and stay healthy. Developed by physicians and neuroscientists, Apollo Neuro has been tested in multiple clinical trials and is proven to improve heart rate variability, the key biometric of stress. Special offer for friends of Superhuman Radio. Try Apollo Neuro today and get 15% off your purchase at apolloneuro.com/superhuman. That's apolloneuro.com/superhuman.
Want to improve mental energy and focus? Try the new Superhuman Stack from Pure Nootropics. Stack Dynamin, Salbutamin, Theocrin, and Palmitoyl Ethanolamide together and feel the lights go on in your brain. Find your perfect mix of these four. Carl likes one cap of each and two caps of Dynamin. Bam! Lights on. Go to shrnetwork.biz/superhuman. Stack, all one word, today, and get yours for 25% off plus free shipping. That's shrnetwork.biz/superhumanstack.
I love beef, and if you love beef, listen up. I've discovered the best tasting beef in the world, and that's not an exaggeration, at Piedmontese.com. The Piedmontese breed is famous from Italy for being lean and unbelievably tender, with half the fat and calories of traditional beef. Even typically tough cuts are tender when it comes from the Piedmontese cows. And for the first time ever, Piedmontese cows are being raised here in the USA. Get 25% off all beef and free shipping on orders of $100 or more at Piedmontese.com with code SHR. Go to Piedmontese.com and use code SHR today. You will never eat any other type of beef ever again. Everybody wants to feel better, be healthier, and happier. If you don't sweat profusely on a regular basis, you won't feel as good as you could. Studies have shown the power of infrared sauna. Infrared penetrates 1 to 2 inches into the body. It helps those with back pain, fibromyalgia, arthritis, depression, and anxiety. Patients get relief from infrared sauna. The Good Health Sauna has been shown to be an exercise mimetic, conveying many of the same benefits as cardio. There are a lot of reasons people buy a Good Health Sauna, but the bottom line is you will be a much happier, healthier person by using the Good Health Sauna every day. You'll crave it, you'll love it, and it will be the best purchase you have ever made. Good Health Saunas provide commercial-grade saunas for in-home and commercial use, backed by the best lifetime warranty in the industry. Unmatched customer service and the best financing makes owning one easy and will fit any budget. Go to goodhealthsauna.com/superhumanradio to learn more and save 25% off.
Spit that out right now. This is the Superhuman Channel.
Welcome back. We're talking today with Mark Bell about being a father and raising a boy. It's a very important topic today. You know, we can track back the demise of the family unit and the problems that we have today with young men to the lack of a role model in the house. And you said it very eloquently. You don't teach a boy to be a man. A boy watches a man and learns to be a man. And that's why the traditional family unit is so important. You got a lot of people out there trying to make light of it. And in fact, you've got stupid things like toxic masculinity and all this other stuff, and they're just trying to vilify men today. And this is the biggest mistake we can make as a population, to vilify men. Men are not evil any more than women are all gold diggers. I mean, these are stupid things that we use to compartmentalize people. It's very, very dangerous. So, all right, so let's talk about this. Yeah, let me get back to my questions, Mark. So, I think you're kind of seeing this already, this question here, right? As boys start to go through puberty, they search for their own autonomy. And I became rebellious at a certain age, around 16, 17 years old. I actually started talking back to my father, which was a huge mistake. Because I thought, like, I'm a man now, you know what I mean? I'm out there in the streets, I'm hanging out with my friends, like, you know, I'm a man now. And so, but this is an important rite of passage for a boy. This is where a boy develops his individual sense of being a man. Any ideas on how to handle that as a father to make that transition easier for your son?
Yeah, I would say, you know, right now it's a little difficult because my son doesn't have the opportunities that we had, you know, just even a year ago. We just getting around people that are your own age, you know, is really important. And remember when you were young, how important it was to get around somebody that was just a little bit older?
Yes.
Someone who was 19, 20, somebody coming back from college type of deal. Like, I mean, or when you're a real little kid and you're seven, and the other kid's nine, like you're right on cloud nine hanging out with that guy because he's like he's the coolest damn kid in the whole neighborhood. And he's got a lot more experience than you and tells you, you know, dirty words and stuff like that.
Yeah.
Shows you a Playboy magazine or whatever it might have been at the time, you know. And I don't think, you know, we don't have that at the moment because of kind of what's going on with some of the COVID stuff. So I do try to encourage my son to still get around his friends. He does hang out with me a lot, hangs out with his grandpa a lot. And I think what you're talking about, I consider to be my target audience. You know, when I consider these ages to be like a wasteland because you just don't know what the hell to do with yourself. And the age, I think, continues to stretch further and further. I think it used to be probably about 18 to about 25 or so. Mm-hmm. And I think it's like 18 to maybe almost 35 nowadays. Because you're not quite sure on what the hell you're going to do with yourself career wise. You got college, you got all these different things. And so that maturation of kind of becoming a man isn't really felt sometimes until it's too late. Like mm-hmm. some people don't really end up like they just wake up one day and they're like, oh shit, I have to be a man, like, because I got kids and I need to, you know, stop making as many dick jokes as I do or something,
right,
like
right,
that.
Right.
Yeah, you could still keep the jokes in there, but you get my point is that you know, you just all of a sudden have this huge weight on your shoulders and you're like, I don't know if I ever even really thought about this before. I mean, we think we want to get married and we think we want to have children, but I don't know how much we actually think about it. I think it's a cultural norm. And then you kind of wake up one day and you're like, holy shit, you know, so I got all these responsibilities. What I try to talk to my son about are very simple things. Like from the time I was a kid, I loved kids. I loved little kids. By the time I was 10 or 11, I was hanging out with my cousins that were, you know, 3 and 4 and taking care of them. And, you know, even when some of them were like infants and stuff, rocking them to sleep, for whatever reason, I always dug little kids. I always liked babies and stuff like that, maybe because of the my upbringing or something like that. And so I'll have discussions with him, like just to when we have little kids around, like, hey, you got the, you know, got the patience for these little guys? You know, what do you think? You know, because not everybody needs to have children. So this is something that you should really think about before you go, you know, before you go diving into. And obviously we've had talks about sex and stuff like that too, because I think that's one of the worst things that can happen is that, you know, he gets somebody pregnant and then due to various circumstances doesn't have the ability or doesn't have doesn't have an opportunity to be in that kid's life because maybe, you know, this girl, you know, lives in Oregon or something and we live in California. You don't know what these circumstances are. So these are all things that you need to really think about and consider. These are huge responsibilities when it comes to kind of assisting him with that maturation process. You know, I've been sharing with him for a while now that this is just sort of a natural process that you'll go through. And it's just going to take you. It's going to take you time. Mm-hmm. It's going to take you a while. You'll have to mess up. You know, I can't really tell you about it. You know, right. I can't like write a book about it necessarily. You're going to have to come to some of these conclusions on your own. But I just think that when I think about, you know, how a child learns how to talk or how a child learns how to walk, you know, I never showed my son how to walk. I never taught them how to talk. You just learn it. You learn it from hearing it. You learn it from seeing it. And hopefully the foundation that I laid down, and hopefully the foundation that my dad is a really spectacular person. I mean, he almost seems like an angel, you know, like he seems, I know he's got his flaws, but he's a really unbelievable person. So to have somebody like that around who just is so happy and just loves life so much is really a great gift that we have in this family, to be able to, for my son to be able to see, and even my daughter. And I'd also say that we have some other great family members too. Like, there's not a person in the family that's where you're like, oh, that's the one person in the family that doesn't really work that hard. You know, like, it seems like everyone's like busting their ass.
Right.
Everyone's hustling, and it's all for good reason. Like, it's all to, we all like to have fun. I got other family members that they'll work, you know, you don't see them for a bit, and they'll work that much just to have some time off to, you know, hang out on vacation, you know, hang out, you know, during the holidays, and to make sure they can be there for some of the more important stuff. And so there's just too many good examples for him to really screw it up.
Right. Did you see your father differently once you had children? I remember my mother used to always say to me, when you have kids, you're going to see. Did you always feel this way about your father? Or once you had children, did you go to yourself, my God, this guy's a saint. I can't get over it. Like, I can't believe what he actually did.
Yeah, so, I mean, first of all, it's annoying to have your mother be right about everything. How tough of a pill is that to swallow, right?
I know. I know.
You're like, Mom, you don't know what you're talking about. And you'll go in your room.
My mother used to say, I hope you have a son like you. She used to say, like, oh, yeah. a curse.
Yeah, my dad, so all growing up, you know, I idolized, you know, Mike Tyson and Bo Jackson and all these different athletes that were, you know, popular at the time. And I didn't really realize, you know, the greatest hero was, you know, in the same house as me. You know, my dad was like, he was really selfless. And when I would, you know, wake up in the morning and see that he was, you know, dressed, ready to go to work, maybe I was waking up for school or whatever, he was already showered, already ready to go, or already, you know, three quarters of the way out the door. And when I think back to the way that I thought about it then, I used to think, like, this job thing that he has really gets in the way of life. You know, thing. It's like, what a pain in the ass. You know, it seems right. Like he can't enjoy himself. But that was the sacrifice that he made, you know, so that we had everything. And I didn't even understand any of that. I knew that money didn't, you know, grow on a tree. But I also just, I didn't really realize how well off we were. It wasn't like we were loaded, but anything that we needed, we needed shoes for school, or we needed to go to a football camp because we all loved football, or we even had weights. We had like Olympic weights, you know, in our garage.
Really?
We had a squat rack. We had, you know, all these wonderful things. And so it wasn't until I had my own children that started to become a lot more clear to me. Mm-hmm. And I started to recognize, oh, like, the suit and tie my dad put on was like, that was his uniform. You know, Bo Jackson would put on a Raiders uniform or a Kansas City Royals uniform. My dad's uniform was suit and tie, you know, and going to work. And my mom actually was a real savior of the family as well, because my mom and dad had this idea that they were going to, you know, buy a small shitty house and then kind of build from there. And that's exactly what they did. But as they climbed that corporate ladder, my dad fell into the man trap of, this is for my family. This is for my family. I got to go do this because this is for my family. I need to work these extra hours. I need to work these weekends because this is for my family. And at a certain point, that line ends up being bullshit. It ends up being a little bit more about you because you got caught up in it.
Right.
And you're trying to climb that corporate ladder and you're trying to make more money. And it's an easy thing to get caught up in. My mom actually, you know, slowed him down one day and she said, you're not here anymore. She's like, Mark's, you know, 13, 14. And I remember being 13 and 14 and being like, I don't ever see him anymore. Like, I hate his job. I hate him. You know, when you're a kid, just the language that you use. And it's completely absurd, you know, for me to think now that I ever hated him, because he was always doing stuff for us. And but, you know, I think that happens to a lot of men, is that we say, you know, oh, well, I don't have a choice. I got to do this for my family. And yeah, I would say to a certain extent, but what you really need to do for your family is figure out a way to be around, you know? So if you can somehow figure out some ways of earning some extra income that don't pull you out of the household all the time, whatever way you can figure that out, if you have the ability to figure some of that out. And so, yeah, my mom, you know, kind of slowing him down and saying, hey, you know, you need to be around a little bit more, but he took the message loud and clear. And then he had the ability to say, you know, when he went to work, say, hey, you know, I don't want any of these upper management positions. I'm good where I'm at. I'm going to stay right here and just kind of, you know, grind this out, which is another sacrifice in and of itself.
Yeah, imagine, right. Because he could have gone up the ladder where he earned the right to go. And he's like, no, I'm not going to do it now.
Yeah. So, you know, all growing up, I guess I just didn't realize that was going to be my ultimate role model. I mean, I remember this as a kid too, and this is important for your audience to try to grasp. I mean, it doesn't matter how faithful a person you are. It doesn't matter how long you've been married, how much you care for somebody. I mean, you still recognize attractive people. They walk by. I mean, you know, I'm not like whipping my neck around like I'm in The Exorcist, but I still notice beautiful women. I remember when I was a kid, when I started to become, you know, more aware of girls and stuff like that, I remember I was like, all right, I'd be like in the back of our car. My dad would be in the driver's seat or something because my mom was going shopping or something. And I would just think to myself, my dad take me to the mall or something like that. And I would just think, there's no possible way that my dad's not going to check this girl out. Like, it's impossible. Like, there's just, it's not fathomable that he can withstand this woman walking past. She's way too hot. And he would never, ever look. He would never look. So I actually asked him, you know, like maybe just 2-3 years ago, I said, Dad, I said, I don't understand. I'm like, you know, there's beautiful people around all the time. And you never acknowledged any of these women that walked by. And He goes, I knew that you were watching. He's like, you know, I knew that wasn't a good example.
He's like,
these eyes, you know, these eyes are for your mother. And they've been that way since he was, you know, 13 or something like that.
Right.
So they've been together forever. And I was like, wow, like, I don't know how to do that, but that's fucking amazing.
That is amazing. That is amazing. Because we just started late, I want to take our last commercial break now. I got two more questions to ask you.
All right.
Sit tight. We'll be right back with more of Mark Bell.
Mind Bullet is a kratom product derived from the coffee family to boost energy and creative juices. Mind Bullet comes in both pill and liquid form for the ultimate pre-workout supplement. When needing a little pick-me-up or to get through the morning fog, Mind Bullet will set your productive course fast. Go to shrnetwork.biz/mindbullet, all one word, today, and save 20%. No subscription required. That's shrnetwork.biz/mindbullet. Get yours today. New Mass Pro Synthogen X2 just upped its own legendary game. To distance itself even further from the rest of the pack, Synthogen X2 now has double the key active ingredients. If you've ever wondered what steroid-like recovery feels like, Synthogen X2 delivers. See why others compare it favorably to powerful bodybuilding drugs at Synthogen.com. Mass Pro Synthogen. When you train with it, you'll gain with it.
Do you remember those delicious toaster pastries you had when you were a kid? You know, the rectangular sugar-filled snacks? Well, guess what? Legendary Foods has just made low-carb toaster pastry. This is the first of its kind, and honestly, these things are amazing. They have 3 to 4 net carb, less than 1 gram of sugar, and 9 grams of protein. You can eat them right out of the wrapper or lightly toast them. The only question is, which flavor? Strawberry or brown sugar cinnamon? They're available at Eat Legendary Dairy.com and Amazon. You've heard me talk about the chill pill on the show and how effective it is at helping people who suffer from social anxiety or sometimes when you just want to take the edge off to a long, stressful day. Well, listen to this story from Dylan Goutreau.
Definitely takes anxiety away, which I have a long history of having. Started out at 2 milligrams a day of Xanax. That was at 8 years old. And so I stopped using benzos 3 years ago. Extremely difficult. Yeah, so I spent about 3 years trying to find anything and everything I could that would be healthy for me to help with anxiety. Because I'm talking, you know, full out panic attack. The chill pill was the first thing that I found that actually in the middle of a panic attack I can take. And it definitely subsides.
Go to drseeds.com. That's DRSEEDS.com. Use coupon code SHR and save 20% off your first bottle of the chill pill. Check it out. I promise this is one supplement that delivers.
When craving a snack, reach for Select Savory Snacks Sugar-Free Biltong, the healthy alternative to sugar-laden beef jerky. They use a fattier cut of beef, making it more tender and flavorful. For mealtime, choose from their 63 seasonings, which are sugar and additive-free. From chipotle rub to savory pumpkin spice, you'll find an option to suit your palate. Go to shrnetwork.biz/SSS today. Use code SHR15 to save 15% on any meat snack or seasoning. Savor the flavor today.
Whether you're goal is to build muscle or burn fat, you'll find everything you need at Redcon One. Need help getting a good night's sleep? Try Fade Out, or the most popular pre-workout supplement on the market today, Total War. Sign up for their new Transformation Challenge and win $10,000, or shop for apparel that people at the gym will know that you are serious about your training. Need a testosterone booster that works? Check out Boomstick. Whatever you need, you'll find the best quality supplements on the market at Redcon One. Go to redcon1.com. That's REDCON, the number 1.com, or go to superhumanradio.net and click the Redcon 1 banner ad today.
You're listening to the Superhuman Channel. We're ripped and we're ready.
Welcome back. We're talking with Mark Bell, talking about, this is an episode that we call of Fathers and Sons. It's about parenting, raising boys into men. So, something happened. I watched my dad pass away. When I looked at him, I saw my face, you know, and I realized, man, that's going to be me someday. And it my mortality became very, very evident to me. My father never talked to me about death. He never talked to me about death at all. And I kind of wish we had now. So do you think there's anything a father can do to help a son understand this transition that, you know, someday I'm not going to be here. It's not a sad thing. You know, I want to just make sure you've got everything you need to move forward in life. Or you think it's better that we just not talk about it at all?
No, I think it's really important that we talk about it. And, you know, my dad is a man of God, and, you know, so he has his, you know, his belief is that, you know, we're, you know, you take care of yourself, and you kind of what Ben Greenfield touched upon, you know, you take care of your soul, and, you know, you live for eternity. And so when you kind of think about, like, you know, kind of living on, then, you know, dying maybe isn't such a severe, or maybe, doesn't have the same magnitude. What I would say, you know, put religion aside for a second, is that I would say that death is really just nothing that's really all that scary, because you're just not alive anymore.
Right.
However, I think what people are scared of is dying, you know. But there's a lot of people, you know, I guess, first of all, you're dying a little bit every day no matter what you do, right? There's a lot of people that are dying a lot faster and speeding that up. But then when the Grim Reaper comes, they all of a sudden care about their health more. Mm-hmm. They all of a sudden, you know, now they're backed into a corner and they have diabetes, and it's all horrible. No one deserves these things. But at the same time, you didn't value your life that much before anyway. And so I think that some of what we see with, like, the COVID thing going on, where, you know, all of a sudden these people want to wear masks and be really far apart from each other. But you're like, you've been eating Oreo cookies and jam and ice cream down your face for the last 25 years, like, it kind of shocks me that you even give a fuck about your about your health at all, you know? And I would go as far to say the same thing with some of the people that are dying at the hands of the police officers. I think in some of the cases, not all the cases, but in many of the cases, these are people that – and they could be you know, trapped by society, and they could have grown up with
without
circumstances
–
They grow up fatherless. They grow up with some really shitty circumstances, and I empathize with that. However, they have not demonstrated that they really care that much about their life. And so for me personally, I don't really care that much about death. I care about how I live. I want to try to live the strongest life that I can, and that's what I share with my son. We've talked about it. We've had – unfortunately, we've had many family members die. And we talk about it, and we try not to dance around it. We try not to say they passed on or we lost them. We say that they're dead, they died. You know, we try to just get right to the point of it, and, you know, talk about some of these things that may have led, you know, ultimately led to their death. But I personally, you know, have walked myself through my mom dying, my dad dying. Right. My dad nearly died a couple of times. He had a bunch of different things wrong with him. He's had heart disease issues. He's had diabetes issues. He had cancer, and then he had some weird circumstance that happened to him on a flight to New York where his body became septic. His stomach blew up real big, and he was in the Jamaica Queens Hospital for 70 days, and he went from being like 210 to like 140, and it was, you know, his cheeks were all sunken in, and it was really, really wild. And he still has scars, and he still has you know, messed up from all that stuff. But, you know, when I saw him, you know, lying there, you know, I kind of thought what you thought. I thought about my own mortality, and I actually wrote my dad a letter, and I read it to him while he was pretty much unconscious, but he later said that he heard me. And I basically told him, I said, you taught me everything that I need to know. Like you're a great dad. Like you, if you need to go, cause he was saying that he wanted to go. I was like, if you need to go, then let it go. You know, you don't need to hang out for me. And, when he came around a couple days later, when he got some nutrition in him and he started to feel a little better, he's like, I heard that message that you read me. He's like, and I always worried about you the most because you're my baby boy, you know? And so, yeah, I think, you know, just, I think it's important to examine your own death. A lot of Stoic philosophers have talked about that before. You know, why not think that through? Why not think it through of what it would be like rather than being shocked and surprised? I mean, there's not a person that has, you know, everybody dies. that's an Rx that we get. That's a prescription that we get from when we're born, is that, you know, death is imminent. And so we may as well just
address it
and also just embrace it.
Yeah, I'm with you on that big time. Okay, so I want you to finish this sentence, okay? When you're gone, how do you want your son Jake to finish this sentence? My father was...
I would, you know, I would like for, you know, how they interpret my living will be probably different than what I wish what I wish for. But, you know, I hope they just recognize that I went to the beat of my own drum, and I was courageous enough to do so, and then I followed my heart and I followed my passion, and I'm somebody that, you know, I try to put like fun and love out in front of everything else, and let the rest of the things kind of work themselves out. You know, I think maybe if somebody was to think of me, they might see the warrior, you know, in the gym, the guy that's, you know, banging the weights around and stuff. But I think more so than that, I would love to be known for just not being a worrier, you know, because I think that that's a great thing to be able to have, and you know, hopefully my children can kind of carry that that same idea and concept that you know, life, you know, has a lot of ups and downs to it, and there's a lot of things to have some concern over here and there, but there's really no reason to, you know, really worry about things, have a lot of anxiety towards things. And I guess I would kind of finish off that sentence of what my dad pointed out to me is a quote that I use all the time, but part of knowing who you are is knowing who you're not. Mm-hmm. And that helped me a lot with not worrying, because, you know, I don't have to be jealous of Carl Lenore because he's got a great podcast. He's got a lot of great advertisers. Carl is Carl, and you're going to do your thing and you're going to kick ass. But I'm not you. I'm not Joe Rogan, and that's totally fine. I don't care to be, right? It's right. Like I'm trying to, you know, get as much self-improvement as I can. I'm trying to advance myself so that I can advance the people around me. And so I hope my children, can recognize, like, you know, Dad was kind of weird. He was always obsessed with like lifting and stuff, but, he wasn't really worried about like trying to, he wasn't comparing himself to other people. He's comparing himself to himself. And ultimately that's what he was doing. That was his goal.
It's beautiful. I want to thank you so much for coming on the air and talking about this today.
And yeah, I really appreciate it. Thank you.
No, I just think you're such a cool guy. And I think, you know, it's not like I'm the only person on the planet that thinks that, because you have such a huge following of people. When I first started doing I used to be a huge fan of Howard Stern. And in fact, I first heard Joe Rogan on Howard when he used to go on Howard. He used to do some funny stuff, really, really funny stuff.
I love Howard Stern. I still listen to him here and there.
And so, you know, one of the things I learned about doing a podcast is you got to bleed for the audience. You got to really be who you are, and you can't be embarrassed for who you are. And that's who you are. You are exactly the person that people see. That's who you really are, too. And that there's a lot of value in that today with social media and Photoshop and fake ass people acting like they're really happy when they're not. And it's just nice to be around people who aren't pretentious, really. And I want to thank you so much for coming on the show today.
Yeah, thank you. I appreciate it. I want to share one more thing.
Yeah.
That my dad shared with me when I was young that also helped. And it's something I shared with my son as well. It's my dad has kind of always said that even with whatever job that you currently have, whatever source of income that you currently have, you should kind of always be searching for the next one. And then he also kind of commented along those same lines of saying that because my dad's helped people with finances and stuff, and you've seen people, you know, have their ups and downs and build businesses and have them crash and all these different things. And so this is how he came to some of these conclusions. But he also said, you know, if you can figure out a way to make your job obsolete, you know, with an idea rather than with your back, then you can, you know, then you can generate, you know, tons of money. And so basically just trying to solve problems for people. And that's what I was able to do with the slingshot. People have shoulder issues. Right. People have pec issues, tricep issues, elbow issues, and they can't do some of the exercise that they love, bench press, push-ups, dips, stuff like that. And so, you know, I was always kind of looking for that kind of thing because, you know, that's what I was taught as a kid. And I think, I think oftentimes when we think about trying to teach somebody else to be a man, I think we're thinking about like picking up a hammer, you know, or picking up a tool, but your mind is a really powerful tool as well. And so whether you learn how to work on a car or not, like I can't show my son that kind of stuff just because I don't know anything about it.
Right.
But my dad has done so. My friends have done so because I do think that that is an important thing. And plus my son has showed some interest for it. But again, I just want to kind of reiterate that point because I think so many people, they get stuck in a particular job. They get stuck in a particular way of making money. And what's wrong with being a teacher but also kind of keeping your eye on something else, you know, on the horizon, because look at what has happened with teaching. That whole thing has been kind of flipped upside down. So if 2 years ago you were thinking about doing something else and now you're able to kind of transition into that or do both at the same time, you know, you're just going to – it's going to help increase your revenue, and having some financial freedom can alleviate a lot of the other burdens of life that people end up really worrying about and getting stuck on.
Guess who's following your interview today?
Who's that?
Joe Finnegan from Piedmontese, Certified Piedmontese. And I know, you're a huge fan of their product as well. So.
Oh, my God. They have
the best.
I heard the advertisement on your show here, and we've had them on our show as well. And it doesn't make any sense to have meat that's that lean but still tender. And I feel that when I'm telling people this, they're like, oh, well, they're advertisers of the show, so of course you're going to say that. There's no way that it just doesn't turn into a hockey puck when you cook that thing up. But they're freaking amazing. I had the filet last night with a bavette steak as well, and it's unreal. I've never had meat like that before, and I think it doesn't get the credit it deserves because it's not part of the government, you know, fat marbling. All the different
conventional
stuff
beef.
Our meat.
Yeah, the conventional beef. Yeah, they're the best. I have a pound and a half of ground beef with me today. I already ate 3/4 of a pound. I have to eat the rest of it now. All right, Mark, thanks for being here, brother.
Thank you. Appreciate it.
Take care. We're going to take one quick commercial break, and when we come back, what am I doing here? We're going to be joined by the folks from Piedmontese, Certified Piedmontese. We've got a great discussion coming up. Stay tuned. Did you know that your gut is referred to as your second brain? In fact, at least 90% of your serotonin, your happiness chemical, is created in your gut. If you don't take care of your gut, you won't feel good, period. Bioptimizers recently released Cognibiotics, a new breakthrough probiotic formula that is clinically proven to enhance your brain function, your mood, and overall mental health. Most probiotics often include conflicting strains or quantities and can cancel each other out. Cognibiotics delivers the exact strain you need in exactly the right ratios and quantities. With a 365-day, no questions asked, money-back guarantee, you can try them out for yourself to start feeling the incredible difference Cognibiotics makes in your mood, mind, and performance. For an exclusive offer to my listeners, go to cognibiotics.com/SHR. That's cognibiotics.com/SHR and use code SHR10.
Quest Nutrition makes bars, cookies, chips, and pizzas out of complete dairy-based proteins. Our products minimize net carbs and sugar without sacrificing taste. Each delicious chocolate-flavored chip, cookie chunk, and crunchy crumble is custom-made to maintain Quest macros. It's time to enjoy foods that work for you, not against you. It's time to enjoy your Quest.
Are you still on the fence about Body Protection Complex BPC Oral from DrSeeds.com? Listen to Maggie Kuhn, one of the owners of the C-Bus Lifting Company gym in Columbus, Ohio.
I had been having some nagging tendon issues that weren't injuries, just things that were annoying. You know, I'm 58 years old, so it's just older tendon kind of issues. For us powerlifters, you know, we really don't stop training when we have just nagging issues. We just kind of keep pushing through. And I started the BPC. What I noticed was I was doing some heavy tricep stuff that would have killed me before when I had an elbow problem. And I was able to do this with literally no pain at all.
Go to DrSeeds.com, DrSeeds.com. Use coupon code SHR and save 20% off your bottle of BPC Body Protection Complex today.
Among the easiest and most popular ways to experience the life-altering benefits of hemp, Planet Earth CBD soft gels offer fast-acting effects as they release quickly. Made in a GMP-compliant, US FDA-registered facility, you can count on Planet Earth safe soft gels. These soft gels provide temporary relief from pain and so much more. Manufactured with the calming combination of chamomile and melatonin, you got yourself a long-needed CBD solution. 25 milligrams of nano-emulsified hemp extract per serving with anti-inflammatory agency, Planet Earth sleep-supporting soft gels will have you forgetting about today's worries for a better tomorrow. Unwind with Planet Earth CBD today.
Do you remember those delicious toaster pastries you had when you were a kid? You know, the rectangular sugar-filled snacks? Well, guess what? Legendary Foods has just made low-carb toaster pastry. This is the first of its kind, and honestly, these things are amazing. They have 3 to 4 net carb, less than 1 gram of sugar, and 9 grams of protein. You can eat them right out of the wrapper or lightly toast them. The only question is, which flavor? Strawberry or brown sugar cinnamon? They're available at eatlegendary.com and Amazon.
New Mass Pro Synthogen X2 just upped its own legendary game. To distance itself even further from the rest of the pack, Synthogen X2 now has double the key active ingredients. If you've ever wondered what steroid-like recovery feels like, Synthogen X2 delivers. See why others compare it favorably to powerful bodybuilding drugs at Synthogen.com. Mass Pro Synthogen. When you train with it, you'll gain with it.
Move over, superheroes. This is the Superhuman Channel.
Welcome back to Superhuman Radio. We're joined by Joe Finnegan and Kayla Springer from Certified Piedmontese. How are you guys doing?
Good. Good to see you again, Carl.
Good. Just adjusted your volume. You're perfect now. Yeah, thanks for being here. So, Joe, man, you got some guns on you, it looks like.
You know, it gets cold out, so I put the long sleeves on.
Oh, okay, okay. I thought maybe you put on a couple inches on your biceps since last time we talked.
Well, maybe, you know. Wearing a smaller shirt certainly helps.
All the beef. It's all the beef. So, before we get into the topic at hand, which is I want to talk about the term superfood. Because I wrote a couple blogs that put forth the idea that there is only one real superfood on this planet, and that is beef. But before we get into that, let's introduce Kayla Springer to the audience. What role does she play at Piedmontese and that sort of thing?
I'll let Kayla kind of do that for herself there.
So. Okay.
Hi. So I guess my official title is marketing coordinator, but I've been here for 8 years. I interned here starting in 2012, and then I came on full time in 2013. And I guess one of the main things that really drew me to this company was just the fact that naturally I'm just a health freak. I enjoy exercising, anything to do with healthy food, and I just thought it was crazy to hear about this animal that produces such a lean and healthy product and it being beef. And I've just, you know, over the years, you hear so many bad things about red meat in general. And just, you know, from the research of myself with, like I said, I love nutrition, and then learning more about the product itself, I just was completely blown away, especially after I tried it. You know, and so like I've been here from the beginning, like I said, so anywhere from helping in the warehouse to lining up trucks to now I get to do marketing things to make sure our message is out there to the masses and that people are understanding, you know, what makes us different and what really sets us apart. And I mean, you know, like Mark said, you know, people really don't believe you until you actually try it. So, I mean, you know, our goal is to try to get that message across to people and just get them to click that order button and try it. So, I mean, it's just been really exciting and fun to see how much the company has grown in the past 8 years. And we get this opportunity to, you know, have platforms like being on Superhuman Radio and also on the Mark Bell podcast just to share our passion really with it. So, I mean, myself, I eat the Piedmontese beef 2 to 3 meals a day. And I maybe have chicken once a week, maybe twice a week, but I've got, you know, my own gut issues and everything like that. So, me just eating our beef has made me feel so much better. I don't have joint pain or anything like that anymore. And it's really wonderful. And it's just crazy to me to go from even just, you know, 3 years ago of people telling you, if you eat too much red beef, it's terrible for inflammation and for your body, and that you can't digest it and break it down. I'm sure partially that's because of the Piedmontese breed. It just doesn't have all that extra connective tissue and fat in there, which is a lot of times it's hard for your body to break down. So,
Kayla, I don't buy any of that. Beef is hard to break down stuff. And
right.
I'm going to be a little possibly vulgar, but I've never seen entirely undigested pieces of beef come out of anybody. You know, it breaks down.
Well, no.
This idea that, you know, yeah, for some reason, a lot of the misunderstandings about beef are driven by tangential marketing. So we have people that sell these cleanses, and they used to say, oh, when Elvis died, he had 64 pounds of undigested beef in his colon. That's impossible. Like, you know, it's so in order to sell products, people had to blame beef for problems. But beef has never been a problem. The truth is, if beef was a problem through evolution, we would have stopped eating it. Because we've stopped eating everything over the course of millions of years that didn't work for us. Otherwise, we'd be eating wood today, right? We probably tried to eat wood at some point in time when we were Australopithecus, gracile, and it didn't work out, so we stopped. But
right. The
real problem I have in today's environment when it comes to beef is I was on Instagram the other day, and that's why I inspired me to discuss this today. And there's a new superfood, and it's all you need is this superfood, and that's all. And it's made with chia seeds and kelp and all of these, and it's vegan, and it's good for you. And first of all, enough research has been done to show that the vegan diet is unless you are supplementing properly, you are going to develop nutrient deficiencies. I mean, vitamin B12 is just one of them, but there's so many other nutrient deficiencies. Beef is actually the only real superfood. Now, the definition of a superfood to me is a single food that you could eat every meal, every day, for years, and not just survive, but actually thrive, get stronger, be healthier. Like you said, your joint pain went away. By and large, all carbohydrates are plant-based. There are no animal carbohydrates, none. We know that carbohydrates cause an inflammatory response in the body. So all carbohydrates, plant-based, of course, are linked to inflammation. Dr. Alan Gundry wrote a book called The Plant Paradox. He points out the anti-nutrients in plant-based foods that are bad for us. And this is supported in science. I know a lot of people don't, look, just because we get away with eating grains doesn't mean it's good for us. Just because we get away with eating certain plant-based products doesn't mean it's good for us. The thing that tells us that it's good for us is what happens in the body when you consume that. If inflammation goes up, that means that's not a good source of food. Now, in hard times, if you're going to survive, well, maybe all that you have to eat. But when we talk about thriving, beef is the only real superfood because it has everything in it that we need, because the cow eats grass and turns it into all the things that we would need. It extracts everything. It super concentrates it. But then on top of it, it adds things to it. For instance, bovine make their own vitamin C. Now, while the USDA has never bothered to test this, Joe, I would love you guys to try this. If someone tested a piece of beef, I'm sure they're going to find some amount of vitamin C in it. Because bovine make their own vitamin C. They don't have to take it. They don't have to find it in food. Just like most, there's only two creatures on the planet that don't make their own vitamin C. You know what they are? Humans and guinea pigs. That's it. Every other species on the planet makes its own vitamin C. So naturally there's vitamin C in beef. And that's why when the Chinese Navy used to leave China hundreds of years ago, they brought cattle on board. They raised the cattle. They milked the cattle. They processed the cattle. They ate the beef. They never got scurvy. While we were trying to can vegetables and put them on boats and send them out, and all our guys got scurvy, they ate beef. They didn't get scurvy. That's evidence that there's vitamin C in beef. So
yeah, and there's also a big movement going right now too with the carnivore diet, which is kind of a response to the whole plant-based movement where it's just nothing but red meat and eggs, and there's been tremendous case studies as well as just testimonials as to how it, has cured people's diabetes, blood pressure, eradicated their prescription regimen from prescription pills. And, it just changes their life. And it's just from a simple diet change to eliminate all of the crap and the fillers to eating a natural, like you said, beef protein that's got all of the nutrients that your body's needing.
You can eat beef like I said a second ago, I'm going to repeat it. Every meal, every day, every week, every month for years, and not develop a nutrient deficiency. Now, is there the possibility that you'd hyperaccumulate some iron? Maybe, maybe not. There are other things that affect iron absorption. However, there isn't another food on the planet. I think Ron Penna and I discussed this a couple years ago, and he said he thinks eggs. You might be able to eat eggs every day, every meal, and not developing nutrient deficiency. But we both agreed that the one that we absolutely know for fact is beef. How could that not be the only superfood? I mean, doesn't that qualify it to be the only superfood?
You would think, yeah, but it doesn't get quite as much love, you know, with the mainstream media and everything that goes along with it, unfortunately.
Well, so here's the other thing that I wanted to take issue with, okay? So beef gets a bad rap. They say, oh, well, beef, it costs, it's so much, water is consumed when you are raising cattle. And about 4 or 5 years ago, there was a number going around the internet and the media, something stupid like, it's 500 gallons of water to produce 6 ounces of beef. And I thought to myself, that can't be true. That just can't be true. So I set out to research it. And what I came up with is a blog. That's the URL. I'm going to show you the blog here in a second, if I can. Chrome tabs. Here we go. And what I did was I wrote a blog called Why Soy is Unsustainable. And beef is better for the planet. So all the people out there who like to beat up on beef, they talk about the water consumption of beef. What they fail to talk about is that, first of all, cows can graze non-arable land. So land that you can't grow crops on because there's trees on it, it's on hills. Cows graze on those lands. So they use those lands. There's more grazing land in the United States that's unused today than there is available for producing crop crops, number one. Number two, cows drink pond water. They drink runoff water. You don't have to bring cisterns of water in for your cows. Usually your land has water gathering on it. You can't use that water for anything else. The cows put it to good use. So the reality is that this notion that cows are bad for the planet is a complete and utter lie. But the media, the fake news media, they keep repeating this because they have this vegan agenda. Well, what they also fail to talk about is the fact that it's conventional agriculture that's destroying the planet, that's causing complete obliteration of the planet by millions of tons of pesticides and herbicides and all this other crap going into the air, into the water. But nobody likes to talk about that because there's this whole vegan movement. Oh, be good to the planet and eat plants. Have you ever seen how the crows and hawks follow the tiller when they're turning the ground to prepare it for a crop? Because bunnies and snakes and raccoons and rodents, they all get chewed up in it. And they just fly behind it and they pick up the dead bodies. You vegans out there who think that it's all about, you know, the animals, there's millions of animals dying to produce your kale. So this is disingenuous of us to keep beating up beef. Beef is the best food for humans. It's the single. Go ahead. I'm sorry. I go on a rant because it drives me crazy.
That's right. But I was just going to tell you one of the most beautiful, you know, things about Piedmontese beef and how we raise them is we utilize actually one of the best natural resources available in this nation, and that's the Ogallala Aquifer that all of our, you know, windmills that pump water from the ground are coming from. So our cattle have access to some of the freshest and best quality groundwater in the country, and it's from the largest underwater or underground aquifer, you know, almost in the world. So to have that basically at our discretion for the animals where they can drink as much water as they'd like, it's basically coming from an endless supply of that water. So
if beef is the best thing for humans to eat, certified Piedmontese is the best beef. Because the quality of your beef matters. Okay. You know, in a jam up, I'll go through Wendy's and I'll get four large beef patties because I've got nothing else to eat. And I grab a fork and I'll eat that in the car. But it's not good beef. It doesn't taste good beef. I found that the further away you get from good beef, the beef starts to have this smell. Elisa laughs because I say it smells like wet dog. When beef smells like wet dog to me, I know that this is cheap, cheap, cheap beef. Piedmontese is the best beef. Why? Because genetically, these cows are amazing. They were bred specifically to be tender, have a higher, denser muscle, and also be healthy and long-lived strong because they were used to work as well as produce milk and to process. So these cows are like champions of the cow breed. And when you eat their meat, you taste the difference. It tastes so good. You don't need anything on these steaks. Just a good seared grill and you're done. You can get 25% off, by the way, of Piedmontese beef by going to shrnetwork.biz/save25, S-A-V-E-25. There were a couple comments put up earlier in the show that for some reason didn't make it through to the show, so I couldn't share them. But one of them was from Eric Swanee. He said, I eat Piedmontese beef every day. I eat Piedmontese beef every day. I know a lot of people who eat Piedmontese beef every day. You know why they eat it every day? Because once you try it, you will never be satisfied with any other beef. I go to restaurants that are steakhouses. I don't think their steaks are as good as the ones I get from you guys. True story.
Awesome. We appreciate hearing that. And, you know, the other thing that we've seen that's been paramount is just to your point of kind of the smelly or rank beef, just not knowing where your beef comes from at the grocery store, you know, because the commodity beef and the big packing industry, you know, you don't really have any idea as to the reach and you know, the numbers that they're producing and supplying nationwide. So, you know, the same beef could be in the case at a high-end butcher shop as it is at a family fair market, just with different dollar figures, but it's, you know, same raw material.
But
buying directly from the source, you know, having that farm-to-fork traceability and supporting ranchers who do it the right way, you know, all naturally and no antibiotics or growth hormones that are high on animal welfare and husbandry, you know, we don't put anybody down who raises animals the right way. Just the Piedmontese breed in specific, you know, nobody can do what we can do from a nutritional profile standpoint. But just doing it the right way and giving the animals lives that they deserve, to preserve a nice quality finished product is what it's all about.
So what is the stuff that they rub on the steaks at the grocery store to make them look more red? Because you could tell they're doing it because it gets on the fat too, and the fat looks like it has a pink color to it.
You know, that could just be like some sort of acid that they're either spraying or rubbing on there, like you said. And we actually, since we talked to you last, we actually opened up a retail shop. And about every hour to hour 15, all we do is we spray water very lightly on the meat, and that literally just brings that red color right back out. And that meat case is just absolutely beautiful down there.
So. Why do you have to spray water on it? Just to keep it from drying because of the air?
Right. Otherwise, you know, as oxygen hits that meat, the meat's going to oxidize and potentially turn that grayish color. Mm-hmm. Doesn't have any effect on the finished product. It's just from a visual standpoint where it looks a little less appetizing.
Now, Kayla, you're into sports nutrition, I believe, right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So are you a low-carb person?
No, I've tried that before. You know, and there's studies out there that your brain, some people just work better when they have carbs.
Yeah.
So, I mean, the majority of my carbs is, you know, I don't have any wheat or anything that is rice and potatoes. So, I mean, it's as raw as I can possibly get for my carbohydrates, but I make sure I get enough in there because when I don't have carbohydrates, I get brain fog. I don't feel like I think as well. And, you know, I'm just, honestly, I also get some body aches sometimes here and there because my body personally just needs it.
Right.
And I truly think that everybody's body is different.
Yes.
You know, the low carb diet will work for one person and it may not work for the other. And that's one thing too with, you know, with any type of influencer out there in the fitness industry, to tell someone, hey, you need to cut carbs out of your diet, or you need to, you know, have a surplus of carbs in your diet to gain weight. Like, you can't just generalize that's the same for anybody.
Right.
Like, literally, you need to take time and figure out what works for your body. It may take a few years, but, you know, as long as you do the research yourself, you know, it's good for you. Obviously, overloading carbs, that's not good for anybody.
Right.
Obviously, if you're an endurance athlete, it's, you need that fuel. So cutting, I mean, personally, cutting carbs out completely just did not work for me.
Why do you avoid, you made it very specific to say you avoid grains. Why do you avoid grains?
So I cannot have anything that has fructose in it. So there are a thousand things under the sun that naturally produce fructose, and wheat gluten is one of them, all the way to asparagus and onions also.
Really?
Yeah. So, I mean, Italian food, I can't have that anymore, unfortunately. Dairy, I can't have because that turns into fructose in the body. But so that's why I stick with rice and potatoes, and that's what works for my body.
Mm-hmm.
It might be boring to eat the same thing every single day, but I'm used to it now. If I want to feel good, I'm going to eat correctly. If I'm going to eat something that I know is going to be a pain, that I know I'm going to pay for it, basically.
You know, I often wonder if gastronomy and the pursuit for flavors in food isn't mm-hmm. where we went wrong as a species. I've talked about this at least over the past 10 years on the show, that food combining is probably one of the toughest things for your stomach to handle. You know, if you eat just a piece of beef, your body has an easy time handling it. The pancreas can produce the enzymes required, and the stomach has an easy time working with it. It digests at a certain rate. Peristalsis moves it through the small and large intestines nice. Everything moves nice. But now when you throw asparagus in with it, well, now you've got something that digests at a different rate. It requires other enzymes to be produced, and it's all in the same place. And so this piece wants to go fast, and this piece wants to go slow. And then you throw some potato on top of that. And so, you know, I've had discussions with very intelligent people on the show, and I said, you know, I often wonder if food combining isn't where we've gone wrong with nutrition. You know, this whole idea that, like you don't see a lion kill a gazelle and say to the other lion, you know what tastes good with this? A hyena. Go get a hyena, and you go get some broccoli. No, they eat what they have in front of them until they're out of it, and then they go eat something else. That is actually less taxing to the digestive system than combining foods. And I often wonder if, you know, our pursuit of gastronomy, maybe we need to blame this on the French and the Italian. I'm Italian. You know, this pursuit of flavor and mixing things together. Oh, let's add this and let's add that. That is what jacks up your stomach, I believe.
Yeah, very well could. I mean, there's a reason why cavemen way back then, they just stuck with eating beef for the most part. I mean, you didn't see them going and foraging for grains and things like that. They killed an animal and that's what they ate.
Right.
And they, you know, and clearly humans are still around, so it must have worked.
Right.
I mean, so there's some merit to that, I feel like.
So right now, anyone listening to my show or watching us, watching the video, you can go to this website, SHR Network. It's actually a URL, shrnetwork.biz/save25, SAVE25. You'll get 25% off all of the beef products at Certified Piedmontese, piedmontese.com. And I promise you, if you order some, you will never be satisfied with any other beef again. And every time an order arrives, even the midst of summer, it's frozen. There's nothing I can tell you. I mean, I'm sure there's the occasional shipper gets screwed up, it sits somewhere it shouldn't. But by and large, my experience with other beef shipping suppliers is that it often shows up at least semi-thawed out. And your stuff always shows up rock solid frozen, and that's a big deal to me.
Good.
Anyway, I want to thank you guys for coming on and letting me rant about how I think beef is the only real superfood.
Oh, there's some, I like that. There's some merit to that. We need to get that message out there a lot more.
Share that. I have a blog. I just put it up, and I'll email it to Joe. We need to get this blog out there. I actually used legitimate resources used by cattle farmers and ranchers who grow soy to do an estimate of how much water is needed, how many days a year does it, how many days does it rain during the growing season. And we looked at it, and the reality is that it's more expensive water-wise, more costly water-wise to raise an acre of soy than it is an entire cow. And once you process that cow, you could eat on that cow for a family of four could probably eat on that cow for close to a year.
Mm-hmm.
And that soy is gone. That soy is gone. And it's, yep. And again, you develop nutrient deficiencies if you tried to just eat that soy alone. You won't develop nutrient deficiencies if you ate that beef.
Oh yeah.
So I'll send this link to you. It'll piss a lot of people off, I promise. Maybe you don't want to share it after all. All right, listen, I want to thank you for being sponsors on the show. Thank you for making such a fantastic product available to my audience, Joe. And tell Ben we missed him, okay?
Awesome. Yeah, take care, Carl. Thanks
take
so
care.
Much.
Thank See you though. Soon. That's it for today. Tomorrow we have Dan Matha returning to the show. It's going to be an interesting discussion. You know, Dan used to be 340, 350 pounds linebacker, I believe he was, for the Cincinnati Bengals. And he's lost a lot of weight when he went into the WWE. I've lost a lot of muscle, too, in the past few years with my injuries. And there's a certain mindset that you have to cope with when all of a sudden you don't have the real estate you used to have. And we're gonna explore that. We're going to explore that on because it could be a stumbling block for people who should be losing weight and aren't because they want to stay a certain size. So that should be an interesting show tomorrow with Dan Matha. Hope you can tune in. Of course, please share the show. Always share the show. Especially this show with Mark Bell because we can help a lot of young people out there who will be fathers someday and maybe some young people who need a little bit of fatherly attention. We'll see you tomorrow. Thanks for watching today and listening.